Hello and welcome back to the Extra Movie Butter Podcast. We got a short one this week, folks. It's Valentine's Day, or Valentine's Week, we'll call it. And listen, we record on Wednesdays. We want to spend Wednesdays with our loved ones, our significant others, girlfriends, wives, etc. So you guys are going to get JT and I today going over all of the new trailers that we saw on Super Bowl, giving our reactions, our reviews, our thoughts on it. Certainly there was there was a good amount of movie trailers. There's more than I actually expected, given like the lineup, like the short lineup of movies that we're going to have this year. So obviously there's a big one that I feel like everyone's going to want us to talk about, but you know what? We're going to talk about that one in the middle. So stay tuned. But of course, Benny is out this week. JT, it's just you and I, my friend. How are you, my co-host?
I'm doing good, man. You know, it was a good Super Bowl. The game was a little slow to start off, but that second half really picked up. Only the second Super Bowl to ever go into overtime. The first one being a very memorable one for me, the Patriots versus the Falcons. Oh, yeah. One of the greatest moments of my life. you know, before we get into these trailers, I just want to talk about, as a kid, before I even liked football, I've always loved movies. And the Super Bowl is always the place to see firsthand some of the biggest movies that were coming up. Are there any Super Bowl trailers that like come to your mind, like as a kid? I remember Gladiator premiered one of their biggest trailers during the Super Bowl. I think Independence Day had one of their big White House blow up. I think that was during the Super Bowl. Yep. There's certain movies that just kind of put a stamp. Cloverfield, the whole Statue of Liberty head, you know, going across the screen, that was during the Super Bowl. Movies, people were like, back then you didn't hear about movies before they were being, you know, done, unless you were really into the movie business, because there was no internet in the early 90s. There was no, you know, trade reports being like, oh, this is going to come out during Super Bowl. You would watch the game, and then a movie you never heard about would pop up, and you're like, what the hell is that? And I cannot wait to see it. Is that your memory of growing up with Super Bowls in the 90s?
Oh, yeah, sure. I can remember when the Godzilla with Matthew Broderick trailer came out at Super Bowl. And I like that trailer is still one of the best trailers like to ever be put. The movie was garbage, but like that trailer, man, you were like, and it was from the director of Independence Day. And Independence Day, a few years before that, had brought the heat with their trailer on Super Bowl. So yeah, it, like Roland Emmerich had like was the king of like Super Bowl trailers in the 90s. So yeah, I was jazzed to freaking get some of these previews this week, but I have a funny Super Bowl story. So yes, I agree. The first half of the Super Bowl was boring. Although I did win the first three quarters of my Super Bowl pool.
Nice.
Because regardless of what the score was, it kept ending with 0-3 and I had 0-3. So won a little bit of cash, but my nephew Laszlo comes into the house, right? And he's jacked and he's confident. And he's like, and comes up to me, he goes, Uncle Marky, he goes, you're the only one I know that has money. And I was like, okay, where's this going, kid?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, I want to put a Vegas bet on the coin flip. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I've done, and like he came in with a compelling argument because he was like, dude, he goes, 56% of the time it's tails. And he goes, and the last like four Super Bowls, it's been tails. He goes, it's going to be heads this time. And I was like, okay. I was like, you want to throw like $20 on it? And he's like, sure. So I call cousin Ryan, who lives in Vegas. Cousin Ryan places the bet for us. Game starts off, it's heads. Like the whole house was going nuts. It was great.
Over $20. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, we won like $60. It wasn't even like
the biggest. To a kid, though, $20 is, you know, or at least in my day, that was like, oh my God, I could go to Baskin Robbins, rent a Blockbuster movie. I could do some and get some breadsticks and Pizza Hut. That was a whole day for me.
Dude, there used to be a movie store. Like this is back in, you know, the day when like movie shops were a thing. And there was a movie shop right around the corner from our house, and next to it was a Taco Bell. And I would get my allowance and I would go and I would get the cinnamon sticks from Taco Bell and then go rent a movie. That was always how it used to be.
My Blockbuster was right next to the Blockbuster was a Baskin Robbins and a Pizza Hut. So you would rent a movie, grab a pizza, and then grab some ice cream for dessert. It was like the trifecta perfection.
Yeah, we same thing. When they finally opened a Blockbuster near us, there was a Little Caesars and a Blockbuster. So yeah, we always did the same thing. We always got the Little Caesars and the Blockbuster.
Yeah, sometimes they would have like deals. It was great.
Well, we are going to talk about the new trailers that came out. Now, we did see a lot of trailers that we have seen before. So we will mention them, but it's nothing that we haven't discussed or haven't seen before. So, for example, the first one I was going to bring up was A Quiet Place Day One. We've seen that trailer. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when that trailer released. Nothing new. Still, it's fun to see, like, a lot of, like, my family who aren't, you know, in this, like, movie sphere looked at this and they were like, what is this? So it was interesting to see their reactions the first time seeing this trailer, because, like I said, they don't know that this movie's coming out. And so their first question is, like, is Krasinski back? I'm like, no, like, this is taking place in New York. This is from a different perspective. And they were like, oh, that's really neat. So I do think that there's some genuine excitement for A Quiet Place Day One.
Some great striking imagery in that trailer. Like, watching it, like, with my friends and my family here during the Super Bowl, I was like, yeah, I could see how that would capture attention. There's a scene where the bridge is on fire. It's just a great trailer that feels like a big invasion film, but on a smaller scale, more personal. So I think they have a hat in their hands. Everyone's going to make some money.
I think so, too. Well, moving on to the next one. And this one was kind of interesting because it wasn't really like advertised. It didn't really show too much aside from, you know, the I don't know what they're called from the Despicable Me movies, the little.
The Minions.
Thank you. Yes. So it was Despicable Me 4. It was a preview for Despicable Me 4. And the way that they were setting it up was it was like an AI trailer.
Yeah.
But then you kept seeing these little funny clips and you'd see like Steve Carell's like body superimposed on somebody. And it's like AI is bringing us the greatest future. And then at the end, you learn that AI is being controlled by the Minions. And that was that was the commercial for Despicable Me 4. I'll be honest with you. I tapped out after Despicable Me 2, so I have not seen 3. I watched maybe a portion of Minions on an airplane. I don't know. Your thoughts? These movies obviously are making money because they continue to pump them out. And the Minions are still extremely popular, but I don't have a genuine excitement for Despicable Me 4. How about you?
I'm right there with you. I saw the first one in theaters, Despicable Me. I don't think I saw the sequel. I don't think I saw the third one. I saw the first Minions movie on like Hulu. I didn't watch it when it first came out, when that whole Gentle Minions thing was happening a couple years ago where everyone was dressing up in suits. I went back and watched the first film on Hulu or wherever the heck it's streaming. And I was like, oh, this is fine. I was like, nothing special here. So I probably won't go see this in theaters. I'll maybe check it out streaming one day if I hear some good things. But yeah, the Minions thing just kind of missed you and me, I guess.
Well, there's another animated movie that debuted a commercial that is the fourth installment. This is Kung Fu Panda 4. You've got, I think, a lot of the returning regulars, Jack Black, Dustin Hoffman, Angelina Jolie, voicing characters from these movies. Again, obviously, Kung Fu Panda, a very successful franchise for DreamWorks. Now we're getting a fourth installment. What are your thoughts on Kung Fu Panda 4?
Yeah, this is one kid's film series. I have seen every film. I saw 1, 2, and 3, saw them all in theaters, and I enjoyed all of them. I think they're really well done. I'm grew up a huge fan of Kung Fu movies, martial art films, you know, from Shaw Brothers to Bruce Lee to Jet Li to Jackie Chan. So mixing that with Jack Black, who's just Jack Black, you know, his character Poe, is basically just Jack Black as a panda.
Yeah.
And I find Jack Black, you know, so entertaining, funny, and charismatic. So you're just watching a great Jack Black movie that happens to be animated, and he's a panda. I really dig the whole franchise. I think it's a great character for Jack Black to really, you know, he's an animated character who's become human almost. Like, when you see Jack Black, he's like, oh, that's like a cartoon character coming to life. So putting him in a cartoon series was just a perfect marriage, in my opinion. So I'm excited for this one. I don't know if it'll be as good as the first two or three. I think the first one is still my favorite, but I think 2 is really strong. And 3 actually has a great family core aspect to it. But I don't remember as well or as much as I did the first two. But I will see the fourth one because I do love Jack Black. So I'm excited for it. And I think I saw those movies all in IMAX or 3D. Those were movies I thought really did well in the 3D. I feel that way about most CGI animated films. They're the movies I want to actually see in 3D because of the digital. It transfers to the best 3D experiences I've had in theaters. So I'm excited to see it maybe in 3D.
I'm with you. I have seen all of the Kung Fu Panda movies, and animated is not my, you know, the first movie I go rush out to see, but I've been genuinely excited for this too. It looks funny, you know, the little kind of crazy bunnies like becoming ninjas and being their secret weapons. That looks interesting to me. But I like you. I love Jack Black. Jack Black reminds me of my brother Tommy. always. And so, yeah, I agree 100%. Like, basically, they just allow Jack Black to be Jack Black just in a panda animated form. So I think the movies are charming. I think Jack Black's charming. So, yeah, I'm excited for this, too. I absolutely will see this one in theaters. And now the big one, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, this was, I think, the most anticipated for everybody, especially your comic book fan. Because we haven't seen anything, but you know, there's been a lot of leaked photos. But you're like, you know, until you kind of really see the trailer, you knew what the tone was going to be. It was going to be a Deadpool movie, and you know, reading that they're going to stick with the R rating, I was very happy about. But yeah, because you do feel like the Marvels at this point, where they're very not, they're not on a hot streak like they were for the last 10 years or so. It feels like it's kind of been going downhill. They've been unfocused. And they even to the point where everything that was supposed to be released this year got pushed to next year. So this is the only Marvel film, MCU Marvel, I mean, not whatever Sony's doing with the Spider-Man franchise. Right. This is the only MCU movie that's coming out this year. So I feel like there's a lot riding on it and a lot of anticipation. So Moose, what'd you think? I know you're, I think out of the three of us, you're the biggest Deadpool fan of the franchise.
I loved it. I am so excited by this. I mean, we know that there's going to be like a ton of cameos in this movie. And I mean, it, just even what you saw, like, I love that they brought in the TVA, and that is the way that they're going to explain Deadpool being able to jump between these universes. It's such a smart move by Disney, but then also like the TVA hot off of Loki season two, you know, and giving like, I don't know, like, seeing the like 20th Century Fox like damaged and destroyed, I kind of have a hunch that like Deadpool's gonna be like just destroying the 20th Century Fox universe, and that includes like the X-Men universe, because we saw Pyro, you know, the Pyro from the original X-Men movies. He made a quick little cameo in there, but I'm excited for this. I love that they didn't show Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I love that they just alluded to it. I love the name. I love it's not Deadpool 3, it's Deadpool and Wolverine. And there's so many of like that just kind of harkens to like the love of like Deadpool in the comics, because it's always Deadpool and Cable or Deadpool and someone else. And so Deadpool and Wolverine is just a perfect, like the first two movies have been leading to this. There's so much Ryan Reynolds like influence in the first couple of movies that I'm super psyched from. This is my most anticipated movie of this year. Yeah, I'm fired up. It looks like it's going to be just insane. It looks like the action, like just even the little bits of like action that we got in this trailer were awesome. Mm-hmm. When he's reloading the guns, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, I gotta agree. The fact that they brought the TVA in, I think also was a very genius move by them. It just kind of fits perfectly with Deadpool, because Deadpool, if you watch the previous films, he definitely alludes especially to the X-Men films. There's even cameos from the X-Men movie. And the last Marvel's film ends with the post-credit scene of Beast in some sort of X-Men world. So the X-Men are definitely being dragged into the MCU, and Deadpool's always been somebody who's just been outside of the X-Men. So it's going to be a great way for him to kind of finally mix into the MCU. And I can't help but get a little giddy when the TVA is showing him TVs of like the Avengers, Captain America, and Iron Man. There's one point in the trailer, it looks like he's saluting. I'm guessing he's saluting Captain America. It makes you, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Endgame and Infinity War ended, like, you know, the first few phases. But I feel still nostalgic for those guys. I feel nostalgic for Captain America and Iron Man. And it's going to be so interesting how Deadpool brings his own commentary and humor into this. I mean, that first line where he's like, whoa, put those away. I'm familiar with pegging, but it's new for Disney. Like, that's such a great, like, Ryan Reynolds slash Deadpool opening line. The fact that they're winking at not just the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the brands that are have brought them to us. Like you mentioned, the 20th century sign being broken. The fact he mentions Disney in the opening scene, I think it's just more tools for Ryan Reynolds to make fun of and make jokes with. And I feel like he's going to absolutely nail it. There's, you know, the marriage of Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds is one of the best marriages of an actor to a role in like comic book history. And we're also going to get somebody who I thought we would never see again as a Wolverine, Hugh Jackman returning. And I think it was a lot, showed a lot of restraint for a movie to call movie called Deadpool and Wolverine to not once show Hugh Jackman in this trailer. Yes. That was pretty ballsy because everybody, even before the MCU, loved Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. So I was a little shocked that they didn't show his face at least once, but they showed the shadow. You know, there was the behind the scenes. There's one shot where the camera's pulling up and you just see the hairdo. So great trailer. It's going to be a lot of fun. It really does. Watching the trailer a few times, it really does feel like they're holding a lot from the movie that they don't want to show. Like, a lot of it was just Deadpool running around, you know, like you said, he's throwing guns around. But like you said, there's going to be cameos throughout this movie. I feel like 80% of this movie is being hidden until the day you're sitting in that theater and actually watching it.
God, I hope so. Like, so many of these Marvel movies are spoiled. I just hope that there's so much that's held back. I actually know, like, because this was a very, like, Deadpool-centered trailer, I actually think the next trailer we get is going to be all Hugh Jackman.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because the movie is called Deadpool Wolverine, so you got to show both perspectives on it. But, yeah, jazz for this movie, most anticipated. This next one we're going to talk about is another wildly anticipated movie on my end. I hope it's the same for you. It's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I'll say this. I love the first trilogy. I think the first one was a huge surprise. The second one is like The Empire Strikes Back of the Apes. Dawn of the Apes is amazing. Yes. War of the Apes, I don't think was as good as Dawn or the first one. I actually think it's the weakest of the three, but still a really good, solid movie. Brought a closure to that trilogy. I will say this, watching this trailer, it feels like it's almost a prequel to the original Planet of the Apes, the one we get with Charlton Heston.
Mm-hmm. And
the effects still look pretty amazing, but there were some shots in the trailer where I thought the effects didn't look great. One scene where a gorilla is chasing a girl through the field, but I'm not going to hold that against it because this is just a trailer. This is just a preview. They have months and months to actually, you know, put the finishing touches and all the effects. But I'm more curious to see where this story is going. If it is a prequel to Planet of the Apes, you know, what is really the... It seems like they're building a society. There seems to be some sort of king-type gorilla. You know, they're using electricity as, like... They're using some technology from the olden age. And it's kind of weird, like, you're in this point where, like, humans are still around. I will say this. The girl who plays a human in this... She looks like she just walked off, you know, Victoria's Secret model. Like, I wish they looked a little bit rougher, a little bit more like cavemen-esque. But, like, some of them look like movie stars who are just putting on some rags and running around. So I'm not, like, I'm excited for it, but I'm a little bit wary also because of the director. It's not the same director. Matt Reeves is off doing the Batman. The director for this one is the same guy who did the Maze Runner trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And those were fine. Like, they were okay, but I don't know if that's a guy I wanted to take over a beloved franchise, especially after a great trilogy. But who, you never know. Maybe he'll step his game up and deliver a great Apes movie. But those are things that I definitely am weighing in the back of my head where I'm like, all right, don't get your hopes up too high. This could be good, but I don't know if it'll reach the greatness of that original trilogy.
I'm excited for this movie because I did love this most recent trilogy, Planet of the Apes. I do feel like it's a little soon to start introducing the next story, Cornelius's story, into this. Because, I mean, you think about it, that movie was only a couple of years ago. But, I mean, look, the technology is there. Like you said, the effects don't look polished. I anticipate that they're going to look very polished. They looked very polished in the previous other movies. And you can just kind of see as like the motion capture technology evolved through that trilogy. Yeah, so did the effects in those movies. But yeah, I am excited. I love like the idea that like there is an ape who is fascinated by human history. Like he's kind of narrating. He's like, they learn to fly. They learn to communicate over the ocean. He's like, if they can do it, we can do it. So he's kind of the like king that the like, oh, what a glorious day, you know, that keeps walking out. So I like that aspect of it. I'm curious. It's interesting that like right away they're showing Cornelius as being sympathetic towards humans.
Yeah.
Like almost instantly. So it's not like, okay, so you know that he's already going to be torn like once this movie begins. But all in all, like I'm excited by this movie. I just, I worry that we're going, if we get a subpar movie out of this, does it taint the previous installments? Are they going to continue making more? Because I like the story of the Planet of the Apes. I like where it ended in war with this virus has pretty much dumbed down humans. And in this one, this girl supposedly is smarter than the rest, right? So maybe she has the ability to speak. And we learned that, like, in the final installment of that trilogy, like, mankind has lost the ability to speak. So, but I agree with you. Like, humans just don't look really rough in this one. Like, they look like they were dressed tactically.
They came out of LA Fitness here in Hollywood.
Right. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Does the director worry you at all? Like, are you confident as director?
A little bit. I enjoyed the first Maze Runner movie. The other two in that like trilogy seemed to get a little more like seemed to stretch and get a little more far fetched and a little more silly. The original Maze Runner was a fun movie. I had a really good time with it. So it worries me a little bit. That Matt Reeves has stepped away from this. I understand that he has a lot of other projects. He's a big name now in Hollywood, so he's going to be getting other things. But I would have liked for him to have been like an executive producer, at least had one hand on the wheel, helping to steer this new. I don't know if they'll call it a trilogy or this new, you know, series in this in these movies, but. Like I said, time will tell. I am excited for it because I loved that most recent Apes trilogy. I mean, that's one that I could go back and watch any one out of that trilogy. I agree, Dawn is the best, by far the best, but any one of those are solid storytelling flicks. And, you know, Planet of the Apes, like movies in general, like the whole series in general, like that could have very well seen, like come and gone very quickly. You know, Tim Burton's 2001 Planet of the Apes was terrible, horrible, right? And that was trying to revamp a series from the 1970s. So, like, this series could have felt played, but this most recent trilogy like breathed new life into this series. So, hopefully, this doesn't deflate it. Hopefully, this new director is treating this most recent trilogy with the respect that I think it deserves.
Agreed.
Next up, Wicked, the Broadway play. Now turned finally into a movie. Surprisingly, this movie has taken Wicked has taken forever to become a theatrical release.
Like, and it got split into two movies. It was supposed to be one film. They split to two.
Okay, so that was exactly going to be my next statement, and I feel like that right there worries me a little bit because I've seen the play Wicked. I enjoy the story of it. You know, we got Oz the Great and Powerful a few years ago, which kind of gave us, you know, James Franco as the guy who becomes the Wizard of of Oz. It looks like Jeff Goldblum will be taking on that role as the Wizard of Oz. And I know Wicked really kind of plays to the witch and, you know, kind of humanizes her as a character and not just kind of this evil entity, and kind of explains a little bit why she becomes who she is in the end. But the big question I have is, why is this two movies?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard about this play. I've never seen it, but it's much beloved. It's super popular. And, you know, John Chu's the director, and I'm like, he's made some movies I enjoyed in the past. He always has a good visual flair. This trailer did nothing for me. It came and went, and I was like, that looks like somebody opened up one of those fake AI trailers and said, make me a Wicked trailer. Everything looked digital and fake. For a musical, there's not a single note of music sung in this trailer.
Yeah.
Hiding it. So I just thought the whole thing was kind of a mess. And I just felt very uninspired or interesting to me. There's nothing in it that was like, oh, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. I think they're trying to kind of beat you over the head. Like, oh, this movie's going to be very visual stunning, but I agree with you. Like, Wicked is a musical. There wasn't a single note belted out. You have Ariana Grande the role as Gilda or Glinda. And so I with you, I was very like, oh, they're finally making this a movie. And then when I Googled it after the preview had come on, I saw that it was going to be two movies. It was like, why? Like, you're just, I feel like somebody, like, this movie was one movie and somebody stepped in and was like, ah, look how good Wonka did this year. like pointed out, like, ah, there's a couple musicals that we can spend some money out of this. And so I like the director, John M. Chu. I liked Crazy Rich Asians. I thought that was, you know, one of the best of that year, a few years back. But yeah, I'm like you. I'm very uninspired. I will see it because I enjoyed the musical when I did see it in theaters, or excuse me, when I did see it, it wasn't on Broadway, but it was like a Broadway style play. I like you. I'm very wary that it's not going to be a good movie. It's going to be very CGI. I don't know. I like Jeff Goldblum though, as the Wizard of Oz. I kind of hope that they paint him more in a like bad guy type view
role.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm always open to these trailers. I mean, even Wonka, I thought the trailer looked interesting. Nothing in this trailer really grabbed my attention, man. So it could turn out to be great, but if I'm just judging the trailer, it's not something I'm excited for.
And we get a little more Michelle Yeoh. So it's always a good thing if you've got Michelle Yeoh coming into your movies.
Agreed, yeah.
So a couple I'll bring up. We've already seen the previews to If had a preview for Super Bowl. I'm a little worried about this movie. I don't know if it's going to be – if it's going to make a lot of money. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is a name. Krasinski is a name. But at the same time, like, this movie doesn't look that great.
Well, I think, first of all, we're definitely not the target audience. But I think by bringing in Ryan Reynolds, you're trying to hope to bring some of the more adults to the theater. But it really does feel like it's geared more for kids. So at the end of the day, I'm just going to say, not a movie made for me. But who knows? Maybe kids will enjoy it.
We got a preview for Monkey Man. It's the same preview that was debuted a few weeks ago. This movie looks bonkers. I'm excited for this. I like Dev Patel. I'm so curious to see how this movie ends up being.
If you tell me there's a John Wick type movie coming out, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
So, and you got Dave Patel, who's a great actor, and the fact that his directorial debut. So that makes me a little more curious to see what he's capable of behind the camera. So, yeah, I'll be seeing this for sure. I'm sure we'll be reviewing it on this very podcast.
I think it's interesting, too, that like his directorial debut is going to be like such a balls-to-the-wall action flick. I would imagine that action movies are not easy to direct.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious. I would love to hear, like, once he decides, you know, when this is coming out and he starts to impress, like, that question should be, what made this be the film you decided to start your directorial debut with? And I'm real curious to hear what his answers is and like what it was about this project and why an action film.
And then we got Inside Out 2. We got that same preview. We discussed that a few weeks ago. We've seen that. Still, I love the original Inside Out movie. I think this next one looks funny. I'm excited for it. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the best track record when it comes to sequels, unless it's Toy Story. Like Monsters University was okay. I thought Finding Dory was okay. Incredibles 2 was good, but not as good as the first one. So it's going to make a crap load of money. But am I hopeful it's going to be as good as the first one? I don't think so, but I'll still see it because I did really enjoy that first film. But I also hate how they redid the whole cast. Hader's gone, like Mindy Kaling. They just replaced everybody. I'm like, why? You're Disney. You tell me you don't have the money to pay these people? Come on.
Lewis Black not being Anger, huge miss.
What are they doing? Like, are you insane?
Huge
miss. Imagine if they announced Toy Story 3 and they said, we're not bringing back, you know, Tim Allen or, you know, Tom Hanks. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, to wrap out our Super Bowl trailers, we figured we'd end on a fun one, and that would be Twisters.
Oh, yeah.
With Glenn Powell coming out. JT, take it away. You tell me what your thoughts on
this. Yeah, Glenn Powell's in full, you know, Tom Cruise Top Gun mode. I feel like he's just like, all right, I'm going to bring Hangman in, but he's going to be a little bit more fun this time. Listen, the Twister film from the 90s was a very fun movie. It was bright when digital special effects were, you know, kind of coming into play much more so in Hollywood blockbusters. We went back and I watched the trailer for Twisters. We also went back and watched the original trailer for Twister. And you got to remember, it was produced by the guys at Jurassic Park. Spielberg produced that movie. And it's directed by John DeBont, the guy who directed Speed. So I'm like, man, that really great people behind the scenes in that first Twister film. You know, R.I.P. Bill Paxton, one of my favorite actors. Helen Hunt, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Carrie Elwes. What a great cast in that first film. Watching this trailer, it felt like a Twister sequel. It felt exactly what I thought. There's even a machine from the original film that Helen Hunt had, the little balls that go into to grab data. But also, the big thing is the effects have made such huge leaps forward since that original film. So this should look amazing, and it should look way better. But when I say that, Jurassic Park still is the best looking movie of all the Jurassic Park movies. And it's like, it's all about who's behind the camera. And the director of this film is someone who came from small indie films. He directed the Oscar nominated film Minari, which is a great film. But that is not the first guy you think of when you're like, who are we going to make Twister? Who's going to make Twisters? Oh, let's get the guy who did this small, low-budget Minari film. But it's very similar what they did with Colin Trevorrow, who made a very small-budget sci-fi film and then gave him Jurassic World, this huge-budget film. Sometimes that works out. Sometimes it doesn't. I'm hoping it works out this time. I think the cast is really strong, especially with Glenn Powell coming off a huge hit with Anyone But You. And Daisy Edgar Jones, I think she's a really solid actress, and she's somebody who I think is ripe for like a big role. I don't know if this is going to blow her up, but it'll be fun to see a different side of her compared to a lot of smaller indie dramas that she's been doing. So yeah, I'm excited for it. I think the director is an interesting choice. I think the visual effects look great. I just want to see a lot of twisters, a lot of destruction, and Glenn Powell does feel like this could be like his star-making role. Because I feel like Top Gun, he was a supporting character. Anyone But You is a romantic comedy. This is a big-budget summer film. Glenn Powell looks like he is ready to bring his A-game. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, everything you just said, I 100% agree with. My only hope for this movie is that it just doesn't rely on too much nostalgia of the old one. Like, right away, they showed us the Dorothy machine, right? The machine that goes up into it. So obviously, right away, like, there's going to be some sort of a connection, like whose son or daughter, right? I mean, that's going to come up. Like, do we get a Helen Hunt cameo in there? Like, I don't want it to be too much reliant on the first movie as much as it is like this is a new generation of storm chasers. I think that's interesting. I agree with you. I think this movie will put Glenn Powell as that it guy for the next couple of years. I think that it's a good choice for him, you know, following like the popularity of Top Gun. Then he made the smaller rom-com, which did bonkers at the box office. Now he's going to go do the big budget Twisters. The effects look great in this one. That's really all we need is we just need Glenn Powell and some tornadoes. Like, the storyline itself doesn't matter too much. Like, I understand that they're trying to prevent tornadoes. That's the whole idea, right? Is, oh, we can stop tornadoes. That's their research that they're doing. But at the same time, like, this movie just needs to have two things, Glenn Powell and Twisters. And it looks like it's got Twisters. And right away, they showed the little twins Twisters. Like, that was cool. Oh, we have twins. Like, I love the memes that have come out just based off of that, like, one shot right there. But like I said, my only hope is that it just doesn't rely on that fan or that nostalgia for the previous Twisters movie. It's fine if one of them is a descendant of somebody, you know, from the original. I'm cool with that. I just don't need so many harken backs to that original film. That original film, like, it had its time. It did really well for itself. Like, I believe it's one of Benny's favorite movies of all time.
Wow, really? I did not know that.
It is, yes. I once threw like a couple of lines at him from Twister just to see if he could recognize the movie. And I chose some obscure ones and he could finish like every sentence of it. So,
wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I will say this. I have not seen the original Twister in quite a long time. So I am due for a rewatch. I will definitely be watching it again before this new one comes out. But yeah, I don't know why. It's one of those movies I watched 100 times probably when I was a kid. I saw it in theaters probably twice.
Yep.
But it's not a movie I think I've gone back and rewatched in quite a long time. So I'm curious to rewatch it.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely going to rewatch this. I'm excited for this one. Like, my wife sometimes is kind of out of the loop of like the zeitgeist of sequels and movies and stuff like that. Because up until marrying me, like her movie going experience was limited, but she saw this and she was like, oh, Twisters, I know all about that. So she's seen this movie. So yeah. As far as I'm concerned, like this, like a sequel to Twisters this far away from the original almost seems like that makes sense. Why not dip your toe back into that pool, see if it twists around.
It was a huge hit. People forget it was a huge hit the summer it came out. And back then, you know, they made disaster films. You never thought of sequels for those movies.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. We're not getting a Volcano 2 or Dante's Peak 2 or some of these other movies. So I am really excited to see. There was a movie a couple of years ago with Toby Kebbell. I think it was called Hurricane Heist. I don't know if you heard of that. I think that had a tornado or a hurricane at one point. I felt like it was trying to be Twisters a little bit, or Twister. So, but this feels like a legacy sequel. Like you said, I'm curious to see if any people are related or how it's going to tie in or if it ties in at all. But the fact that Dorothy Machine is there, you know, it's got to have some sort of DNA from the original film. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. It's not a movie where it's not Tenet. I'm not going to be walking afterwards, going to a coffee shop, being like, let's discuss the plot of that movie. You know what you're going in. You're getting big-ass tornadoes, fun characters, and some popcorn in your mouth, and that's what I want.
Do you remember the, 4 years when Hollywood was trying to make Toby Kebbell a thing?
Yeah, I know. Fantastic Four, Hurricane Heist. I mean, he was in Donald Planet Apes, but he was an ape. It didn't quite launch out for him. But he's good in – he's actually in the new season of For All Mankind.
Well, that's it, man. Any other final thoughts about all of these previews that we got? I'm shocked that we got as many as we did.
Yeah, there's a couple I was hoping we'd get that we did not get. I thought maybe a Bad Boys 4 might show up in there, seeing that's not too far away. And I know it's not coming out to September, but I was also hoping for maybe a Beetlejuice 2 trailer in there.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked that like Ghostbusters didn't throw one in there. I was seeing they're like a month away. Like, I understand Beetlejuice being in September, but Ghostbusters would have been perfect. Who doesn't love Ghostbusters? I think they should have definitely put a little teaser in there.
I'm shocked that Ghostbusters wasn't pushed so hard in this. I'm shocked that there wasn't a couple of previews in this, or at least a teaser with just a little bit of new footage out there. I'm shocked they weren't a sponsor in some way of the Super Bowl. So worries me a little bit about the quality of the movie that they did.
Or they're so confident that they don't need it. So it could go either way.
Yeah. We did get a mustachio to Paul Rudd several times on screen rooting for the Chiefs. I thought that was I guess that's promotion enough.
Ghostbusters shirt on him at least.
I also thought, so a few years ago when the first Deadpool movie was coming out, it came out in February, it came out the week of Valentine's Day. Ryan Reynolds showed up to the Super Bowl dressed as Deadpool and walked among the crowds, and he was tailgating with people. And he was just basically doing one man marketing for the original Deadpool movie. And I thought for a moment, because I saw Blake Lively was at the Super Bowl, I thought for a moment we were going to get another Deadpool showing, he was going to show up as Deadpool, is somewhere. But it's fine. I understand you've played that card already. It worked out for you the first time. But I kind of expected to maybe see Reynolds show up as Deadpool somewhere, but it's all good. We still got a little ways before he comes around.
I missed that whole thing. I didn't see that. I don't remember that. So I need to go back and look that up, because, yeah, that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, go back on YouTube and watch some of these clips of him walking around Super Bowl as Deadpool. It's so funny. There's one where he tries to shotgun a beer through the mask. It's just poured all over it. Yeah, it's great.
Well, speaking of comic movies, we will be back with a full episode next week. What are we reviewing there, Moose?
Sorry, folks, but we will be reviewing Madam Web. Oh, the highly, highly anticipated Madam Web.
Reviews haven't been great, but sometimes these turn out to be the most fun episodes, because hopefully we all agree and not one of us. Hopefully, Benny doesn't love it. I hope I don't enjoy it. I hope all of us just come and be like, wow, what did we just watch? It's a weird premise. If you said, hey, they're making a Madam Web movie, my first reaction would have been, why? Such a weird character to even try to make.
Such a weird character.
Yeah, there's so many other Spider-Man characters you could have done before this. So I'm really curious to see where they go with this story and what made them think this was the movie they needed to make.
We'll talk about this next week, but yeah, the whole Sony owning Marvel characters is just a fascinating like conversation in and of itself. So I'm sure we'll probably have to do like Sony Marvel movie rankings.
Yeah. And Kraven the Hunter was supposed to come out last fall and got pushed. This is like, this can't be good for Kraven the Hunter.
That's another one I think is going to be dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's going to be a rough episode. It's going to be, we'll have to get a good, we'll try to book a fun guest for next week to help us, you know, dogpile on whatever we're about to watch.
Well, as always, folks, we appreciate you tuning in. And yes, please catch us next week. You'll catch us next Thursday. We will be reviewing Madam Web. Until then, we'll see you then. Cheers.
Bye, everybody.